So, Doctor, this group will comprise about 49 million people. Who will come in this next phase?
Well, we really wanted to make sure that after phase 1A is complete, which includes healthcare personnel and long-term care facility residents, that we were able to think about our frontline essential workers as well as those adults 75 and older. The rationale being that those two populations are, again, at the greatest risk for infection due to their occupation and greatest risk for hospitalization and death. And so we are hopeful that this recommendation will get us closer to where we need to be. Obviously, we absolutely want more doses and are looking forward to having now two available vaccines that will enable us to be able to implement more efficiently in addition to equitably.
Do you expect that this group will have to be broken down, say, into smaller subcategories?
Based on the projections discussed today at the ACIP meeting, we anticipate there will be sufficient number of doses to vaccinate phase 1B. I will emphasize the importance of, you know, funding the public health infrastructure to be able to deliver all these vaccines. As was discussed earlier on your news show. But I think for phase 1B, we're anticipating it should be okay. For phase 1C, which is to come after that, I think that's where we're going to have to relook at the supply chain at that point and make sure if there are sufficient doses in the system, we may have to have more open discussion and deliberation on thinking about the sequencing of that next phase.
I know it's asking you to speak in broad terms, but can you maybe hint at 1C, what that might include?
Sure. For planning purposes today, ACIP did vote on phase 1C, which does include adults 65 to 74, adults with high-risk medical conditions, and other essential workers. And so we anticipate being able to, you know, drill down a little bit deeper and support our public health infrastructure leaders as well as our healthcare leaders to be able to help provide a little bit more granular support through some guidance documents and clinical considerations in the coming weeks.
I know that the CDC has their recommendations. Do we know if any states have deviated from that at all?
I believe that states in general have followed the ACIP recommendations are at a national level. And because they are national, it is difficult to become extremely granular. I know that states and counties, at least our state and county, you know, has done a really terrific job following the intent of these recommendations. But we recognize that at a state and county level, there are additional implementation considerations that are important for distribution to follow the intent. And so they have adapted the recommendations to their local communities and their local context. But from the colleagues that I worked with, especially in the state of California, it's been done extremely well.
Can you comment at all for us, Doctor, in terms of we talk about maybe people pushing for priority with the vaccine? I know there's been some lobbying from some groups like Uber, you know, to get prioritization. Is that something that's ever taken into account?
Well, because every state has a different context in terms of its essential workforce and its frontline essential workforce, I anticipate states will be weighing in on this. The ACIP did discuss broad categories of frontline essential workers, where the majority of those individuals do need to be in person, interacting with the public or with other workforce members in order to accomplish their job. So I'll give you the example of first responders, such as firefighters and police, education, including teachers, support staff, daycare workers, food and agriculture, and it does include transportation, specifically public transport workers.